Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Who the F is Corey Slater podcast with your host, Corey Slater. Happy 2019, people. Mine got off to a pretty cool start. I went to the Rose Bowl, saw Ohio State beat Washington in one of the most boring halves of Ohio State football I have ever seen in my life. but yeah, it was pretty cool seeing so many people from Ohio out here all at once. Definitely the most amount of white people I've been around since I've been out here. But yeah, it was a pretty cool experience. I mean, the Rose Bowl doesn't have like the significance of like what it used to have now that it's like kind of eliminated from, the college football playoff system. I'm gonna have to look that up because I thought first when they were initiating the college football playoffs that they were supposed to have the Rose Bowl be a national championship site, but I'm not sure about that. But yeah, it's a good season of Ohio State football, except for that fucking Purdue game. Urban. I might be the only one of the only Ohio State fans that I'm fucking glad to see that scumbag gone. Especially after I listened to this podcast about Aaron Hernandez. And I had totally forgotten how many fucking players got arrested down in Florida when Urban Meyer was there. 31 player arrests. And when Aaron Hernandez went down for his college visit when he was 17 years old and still in high school, he got in a dispute with a bar manager at the end of the night at like 2:30 in the morning. What the fuck's a player doing out that late? And he perforated the bartender's eardrum by punching him. And yeah, Urban and Scumbag Incorporated swept that underneath the rug. So you know what? Fuck that guy. And I'm really excited for Coach Day, who seems to be doing pretty well recruiting. And I'm pretty excited about his hiring. His hiring torso so far. How about fucking the Brownies? Dude, I cannot believe the turnaround this season for the Browns. Like, I don't know how non-Browns fans realize the mentality that we have where the draft every year is like our Super Bowl. And after every year, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. And now looking forward to it that, yeah, it looks like next season might actually be different if we choose some good players in the draft here. Big wide receiver. I was looking at wide receivers this morning. Some of the top prospects, looking at like highlights and stuff like that. If we get a solid big receiver, like that's the last piece of the puzzle, man. I mean, I really can't think of any other positions where we're kind of lacking. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Being a Browns fan right now, and I'm going to break my rule. I haven't bought any Browns merchandise since like 2011 because I said, you know what? The product that you're putting on the field doesn't warrant the participation from my wallet. And now that I see them actually putting a solid product out on the field, yeah, I'm probably going to be buying some Browns merchandise shit in the offseason here. So breaking my rule because I said I wasn't going to buy anything until they actually made the playoffs, but they got pretty goddamn close this year. They were eliminated contention in, what, week 17, maybe? But, yeah, that's the turnaround is, like, amazing. I can't wait for football to start back up already. And we're in the fucking playoffs. Well, the NFL playoffs. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, fuck Alabama. I am so happy when Alabama loses, because Saban's such a scumbag. Like, I don't know if there are any, I don't know, I'm such a big Jim Tressel fan, where at least he was like, you could tell he actually cared about his players and like mentoring them, and you could tell that he brought his religion into it, and actually was a good Christian who was trying to mentor young men. Whereas like these other coaches, man, on the national side, like Jim Harbaugh, scumbag. Urban Meyer, scumbag. Nick Saban, scumbag. It seems to get to that level, you almost have to be a sociopath. Or maybe it's just that generation of older 50-something-year-old white dudes that are just, like, grew up in the 80s and, like, I don't know. I think it's that generational thing. I can't stand that generation for some reason. It's that generation that didn't have to fight in a major war, but they seem fucking entitled to shit. Like, a lot of those guys are like NRA types that talk about fighting for their country and shit. And those are the same types of people that are like, oh, so did you ever serve? And they're like, no, I was going to, but my mommy talked me out of it. Fucking scumbags. Yeah, fuck those people. Anyway, I'm going to start talking about some of the movies that I liked this past year. Some of the top, like, I think I wrote down like 10. And I'm not going to go in any particular order, but I'm just going to ramble on a little bit about them. But yeah, for movies for 2018, the first one I'm going to talk about is probably my favorite movie. And that is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Like, if you haven't seen this movie and you have a kid, it doesn't even matter if you have a fucking kid. Just go see this fucking movie. It's probably a top three Marvel movie, like, ever. And, yeah, it's just got such a good message. And, like, you were cheering on Miles this entire thing. The entire movie, like, the buildup of, like, and the message that, like, anybody could put the mask on, like, so cool. Stan Lee cameo was amazing. The soundtrack was amazing. They even put out a fucking Christmas album with some of the voice actors, including Chris Pine, which if you didn't know and you did see the movie, Chris Pine voiced the Spider-Man that was in Miles universe though already. Jake Johnson's on the soundtrack. The guy that voiced Miles Morales, I forget what his name. What's his name? Shaheek Moore, maybe? I'll look it up real quick. Hold on 1 second. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse cast. Shaheek Moore, yes. Yeah, Shaheek Moore. He's on one of them. And then one of the dudes from what's that called? Lonely Island. They're the ones that did, like, Dick in the Box. He was actually one of the voice actors for Spider-Man. Spoiler alert, fast forward 10 seconds. Spider-Man 1967 that you see at the very end of the movie, that's actually him. And then he does a song on the Christmas album that's absolutely fucking hilarious. He talks about, like, Spider-Man, a kid seeing Spider-Man puke on the subway after his holiday party. Like, it was just, I'm not a big fan of Christmas movie, but yeah, that's by far my new favorite Christmas album. But yeah, I went and saw that twice in the theaters already, and I'll probably go see it a third time, one of the Tuesdays that I have off, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to pre-order it, which I never pre-order movies on iTunes, but yeah, I think I'm going to pull the trigger on that one so that I get a day of when it gets released. Let's see here. Next movie I have on the list is Aquaman. I did not think that they were going to be able to pull off that orange, the classic Aquaman outfit, but they did such a good job in world building. Like, this is pretty much like Avatar. Like, I think James Cameron's fucked for his next Avatar movie, because his next Avatar movie, I think, was supposed to take place underwater. Like, Aquaman absolutely killed it in terms of world building. And it actually, you feel cheapened almost. Like, the movie's 2 hours and 20 fucking minutes, but you feel cheapened that you weren't able to see, like, all the different kingdoms in Atlantis. Like, the scholarly ones, I forget what they're fucking they're called, but they got, like, I think a minute and a half of screen time. Like, and it made you wonder, oh, what are these group of characters like? But yeah, I can't believe the turnaround for DC. Bravo for letting them. Who is it? Is it James Wan? 1 second. Sorry. I didn't outline as well as I should have. Yeah, it's James Wan. Yeah, Creepy Puppet on Twitter. Hats off to DC for actually letting James Wan build his vision out of, like, what Aquaman should be, because it was pretty cool. The action sequences were amazing. Nicole Kidman's action sequence at the beginning, like, it was cool as shit. Jason Momoa did a great job. Yeah, and it was just one of those movies where, although I did start feeling that, like, around the 2 hour mark, I'm like, they probably could have cut some of this out, but at the same time, you're like, they could have cut some of it out, but at the same time, you want to know more about the universe. And that's pretty much what good world building is in a movie, especially when you're introducing people to a set of new characters and creatures and stuff like that. Like, think of Lord of the Rings. What, there's a reason those fucking Lord of the Rings movies are 3 hours long a piece. It's because of that world building. And they absolutely did an amazing job of it with Aquaman. Let's see here. Next one, Bohemian Rhapsody. I went and saw this in a theater, and I forget what it's called. What the shit? But it was a normal theater, and then like a normal rectangular type theater, but at the same time, it started projecting on the side walls to give you like an entire encompassing view of it. And it would go in between out of that, but like the concert scenes or walking down a hallway, like there's this one scene where he's walking down a hallway and you're following it. The camera's following him from behind and it lights up on the sides. And like, if you look to the directly over to the side, you're not going to be able to actually like really see anything. It's kind of like blurred images. But if you're looking directly at the screen, it's like, almost like if you were walking, the peripheral vision that you have of objects and people on the sides, you saw that. But yeah, I thought it was amazing performances. Bryan Singer's a fucking creep. but yeah, the concert, the Live Aid concert, man, that I've heard criticisms that like it's just he was repeating the performance. Malik or whatever the hell that guy's name is. The guy that looks like he needs to get some healthy sleep and maybe a steak. His skin's kind of gray. Get some iron in there, buddy. Yeah. James Franco suffers from the same condition. The same, I need to eat a fucking steak. I just rewatched the interview with James Franco. And holy shit, it's the North Korean movie. Like, I'd forgotten how fucking funny that movie was. But I'll probably rewatch that this week. But let's see here. Next movie on my list, Deadpool 2. Deadpool 2, once again, like, they took the first movie, what people loved about the first movie, and just moved it on to the second movie. And Ryan Reynolds was just born to play that character. It's kind of a bummer now. It looks like X-Force is getting put on shelves with the Disney-Fox merger. So on top of the Netflix TV shows getting canceled, because of Disney's streaming service that's going to be coming out here this year. They don't want a competitor. Yeah, there are some bummers, but at the same time, they're getting a lot of those characters back, like X-Men and Fantastic Four, where Fox has absolutely fucked some of those characters up. And yeah, they're back underneath the Disney umbrella here pretty soon. I think they said that the merger is supposed to be finalized in like March or something. But yeah, next movie, and this came out of nowhere, Searching. Harold from Harold and Kumar. It's this, it looks like, how do I describe it? It looks cheesy as shit because it's all on like webcams. It's about this dad whose daughter goes missing and then he starts investigating, like using her laptop, checking social media. So a lot of it takes place in front of a computer, and then you could see like messaging like IMs and shit like through Facebook and stuff. And then it pulls back to like security cameras too. So like there's this one scene with the dad and his brother, which, yeah, you get so nervous during this scene. It was so well done. I highly recommend it. Definitely a good rental if you're looking for like a thriller. But yeah, that one came out of nowhere. Like I saw the trailer and I'm like, I'm not going to see that. And then like I was, I think I was up in Hollywood and I was like, oh, let's see what's playing. And I checked and Searching was on there. And I think it had like an 80 something on Rotten Tomatoes. I was like, what the fuck? So I just took a chance on the movie and yeah, it turned out to be a fucking good experience. Very good script and very interesting in the way that it was shot. Let's see here. Next one is Mandy. If you were a horror fan, especially a horror fan of the 1980s, you need to go fucking, you need to see Mandy immediately. Nicolas Cage is in it, and don't, if you're a Nicolas Cage hater, shut up right now. you need to see this movie, because it is like those vans from the 80s that people used to like do graphic art on the sides of it, of like, I don't know, like Conan the Barbarian and shit. Like, this is one of those vans come to life in a horror movie almost. But yeah, it combines like elements of like Hellraiser. You got religious cults. Then it just dives deep into like fantasy, like just straight up 80s fantasy. And it's like so fucking metal. It is awesome. There's a chainsaw fight, okay? Nicolas Cage and this other dude are fighting with chainsaws, and it's fucking awesome. So if a chainsaw fight and Nicolas Cage don't sound good to you, I don't know what the fuck's your problem. next up, Infinity War. Everybody's seen it, saw Infinity War, obviously. Yeah, so there's not a lot to say about that, except that the Endgame trailer just came out a couple weeks ago. Well, about a month ago I guess. Really didn't show much, but yeah, I'm not going to talk about that since everybody saw it. Halloween. Halloween came out, and I thought it was really good until I just watched the Honest trailer. And if you've never seen the Honest trailers, I think, who does it? Just Google Honest trailers Halloween. You'll be able to find it. It'll be like at the top result. But anyway, they did what they do is break down movies, and they broke it down, and they pretty much just remade the first Halloween, and just some of the shots are just scene for scene, and even shot for shot, like remakes of it, which is one of the reasons why I don't know, I probably liked it so much. But it was cool. It was a lot better than those horse shit Rob Zombie ones where something about a fucking white horse. Oh, God, that guy. He's better off doing his own thing where, like, he's creative, like House of a Thousand Corpses. And what's the other one? What's the follow-up to it? Something Devils? I don't know. But he does better when he's coming up with his own shit. Like, I wasn't a fan of his first Halloween movie, and then the second one was just absolute dog shit. The next movie I'm going to talk about is Upgrade. If you haven't seen this, it's like a sci-fi action movie where this guy becomes paralyzed, and then they implant an AI into his body, into his spine, I think. And the AI helps him recover and pretty much kind of can take over his body if he needs to. He starts hearing a voice in his head, and it's the actual AI. And the AI could see everything he's seeing and hear everything he's hearing. And it could actually take over his body if he wants it to. So, like, he starts getting into these, like, fights, and the AI takes over and just fucks people up. But at the same time, he has to talk out loud. Like, the AI can't hear his thoughts. He has to talk out loud to communicate with the AI, and then the AI communicates with him like he hears it in his head. But, yeah, the way the movie ends is pretty fucking cool. And it's another one of those movies. It's kind of like The Other Guys. Or it's one of those movies that flies underneath the radar, has a really high Rotten Tomatoes percentage when it's out in theaters, but just a lot of people didn't see it. So definitely that's another rental that you're gonna wanna see. The next one, and the last movie on my list, is The Night Comes for Us. This is on Netflix. It's an Indonesian movie. But if you've seen The Raid and The Raid 2, you'll notice some of the characters are from those movies. Those actors pretty much kind of separated from Gareth Evans. Evans? Is that his name? He was the director. But some of the actors were also the choreographers for those movies. Well, this one is the main guy from The Raid. He's not the lead in this, but I think the lead in this one was one of the main cops from The Raid, the first one. But yeah, The action scenes are fucking over the top, ridiculous. Like, it's just, if you're a fan of martial arts films and, like, action and violence, you definitely need to see The Night Comes for Us. It's on Netflix. It's, like, maybe 2 hours long. And if you read subtitles, yeah, it's an Indian. I think it's an Indonesian. Is that a language? Indonesian language. All right, hold on. I'm going to Google that. That's going to bother me. Indonesian language. Indonesian is the official language. Indonesia. Yes. So I was correct. It just didn't sound right for some reason. But yeah, the action scenes are fucking absolutely amazing. It takes place in China, I think. It's very hazy. But apparently the triads have these things called the Six C's, and the Six C's are like their main assassins. And each one of these main assassins has like their own gang. But one of these guys is leader of one of those Six C's. He's a Six C guy. And this is kind of hazy. Like, it kind of didn't even make sense. This is a little bit bad part about the script, where like they have to go execute a village that like stole drugs from the triads or whatever. And then they come across this one young girl, and then he all of a sudden has this like moral, moral awakening. And then he turns around and he shoots his entire gang. And then so the triads are then sending these other like sixies and like gangs and stuff like after him and like his crew, like his group of old friends before he got like the promotion from like being a regular gang up to the sixies. He goes back to that old gang and his friends from back then, and then like they're trying to take care of this girl, and the fight scenes are absolutely amazing. There's this one assassin that I think, is she one of the sixties? I don't know if she's one of the sixties or not. They call her the operator, but she is the hammer girl from the Raid 2. And like I said, if you saw the Raid 2, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the hammer girl. Yeah, absolutely love those movies. But after seeing this one, I started following them, and like, I think I found another one of their movies that came out in like 2016. So I'm probably going to watch that one today. But yeah, if you have Netflix and you don't mind reading subtitles and you want to see a fucking sweet ass action movie, The Night Comes for Us. And those are my top 10. Obviously, there was a lot of good movies that come out. We're reaching a point now where there is so much fucking awesome content that's being generated, both in movies and in TV, that it's really hard to start doing like a top 10 for 1 year, just because there's just so much amazing content. And that's why, like, even the TV shows that I'm about to do, like, I probably have a list of like 30 TV shows that I could talk about, but like these are just the 10 that I came across. And the first one is Killing Eve. Killing Eve, I believe Sandra Oh, she was in Grey's Anatomy, but she plays an American that's working for the British government. And she's tracking down assassins. Well, she's tracking one assassin. But the assassin she's tracking is this blonde Russian chick, and she's not working for the Russian government, but for like some criminal organization. But, pretty much in the first episode, that Russian assassin finds out that Sandra Oh is actually tracking her. So then she starts actually kind of stalking Sandra Oh while Sandra Oh is looking for her. So I think it's the first episode where Sandra Oh like loses her luggage because the Russian actually stole her luggage. So she has to go buy new clothes because she was traveling or something like that. So she goes to the store and she's trying on clothes, and she's like, oh, this dress doesn't look right. And then meanwhile, the assassin's like in the store with her. And so she goes and picks out a belt to go with the dress that she like, she came out and she did like a little swirling. And then I think she came out, whatever. But she chose out a belt for her. And then Sandra Oh grabs the belt and she's like, oh my God, it's mixed an entire outfit. And, yeah, so it's a pretty cool dynamic. It's only 8 episodes. I think it's a BBC show. But yeah, it's 8 episodes and it's really fucking good. I think Sandra Oh won Best Actress, maybe, at the Golden Globes, for this role. But yeah, a really good show. Daredevil season 3. I'm going to be spoiling the shit out of this. So you might as well fucking skip over like 5 minutes if you don't want to hear anything about Daredevil season 3. Daredevil season 3 and them canceling it right afterwards, it's going to make you sad. It's going to make you fucking sad because season 3 was so fucking amazing. They bring Kingpin back, and Kingpin somehow gets out of jail. And he comes across this agent, FBI agent called Poindexter. And you don't know it, but season 3 is pretty much an entire season of Poindexter transforming into Bullseye. And so you get full-on Bullseye at the end, which is Bullseye is kind of like Daredevil's Joker almost, if you're not a big comic book fan. But yeah, there's this one, so many good fight scenes. Like there's a prison fight scene where it's like 15 fucking minutes long where Matt Murdock is in a prison and he's trying to get out. And all of a sudden there's a prison riot going on and he's just like fighting everybody. And you can tell he's like physically exhausted by the end of it. Like he's so fucking tired. Like they do just such a good job of like realizing that this is a normal guy and he only has some super senses pretty much. But like it like with his endurance and everything, absolutely fucking amazing scene. It was like one of those tracking shots. I'm not sure. I don't know if they filmed it all in one, like the original hallway scene in the first season of Daredevil, where they made it seem like it was one take, but then they actually like hid cuts, like while it's panning. But I'm not sure if they did the same thing with this one or not. It would be if they did a 15 minute take on this and. It's just amazing TV if they did that and were able to pull it off. But and this is really spoilery. There's this one scene at the newspaper that Karen works for. I forget what it's called, where Karen Page works. But Poindexter goes there, and it's a fucking – he's throwing office supplies. And it's believable. Like, he's throwing pencils and pens and scissors and shit. And, like, with enough velocity to actually, like, hit Daredevil. And then, like, actually go into him. And he's, like, having to pull, like, pens out of him. Like, it's so fucking ridiculous. It's like something from a comic book where, like, if you read the comic book, you're like, they'd never be able to pull that off in live action. But then they actually fucking were able to pull this off in live action and make it believable. It's so fucking cool. And it's such a bummer that they fucking canceled that series. But apparently there's like a 2-year hold for those characters between Disney and Netflix. So Disney has to wait 2 years before they could actually use those characters either rebooting them with different actors or actually taking those actors that have played those roles in the Marvel Netflix arena and then being able to use them. So they're going to have to wait 2 years before they could actually use them. But I hope they do. Charlie Cox, man. Out of all the Marvel characters, out of the Defenders, I think Jon Bernthal is like perfect as Punisher, and I'm fucking pumped for it. It releases tomorrow. Season 2 of Punisher releases tomorrow. I'm fucking pumped. Season 3, Daredevil, absolutely amazing. And Charlie Cox kills it as always. Next one is another Netflix show, The Haunting of Hill House. If you're a horror fan, you need to see this series. I kind of didn't like the ending, but it's so fucking creepy. Out of the horror genre, ghosts and exorcists, the subcategories of ghosts and like exorcisms are my least favorite. But this is a ghost series, and it's so creepy. And if you look close enough, like, you need to actually, like, pay attention when you watch this show. Because, like, there'll be, like, random ghosts in the background that, like, you'll barely be able to see. And you're like, oh, God, it's so creepy. But, yeah, the way that it's shot, they do a lot of tracking shots, too. And it makes it super creepy. Because, for instance, there's this one scene where I think the dad's walking around in the upstairs hallway. And there's this like stone statue and he walks in one bedroom and the statue's like facing forward. And then I don't know if it's facing forward or facing towards him. But then when he walks out, the statue's face is like turned the other way. And, so you just have to constantly look at like looking in the background, paying attention, not being on your phone, to be able to like try to look for it. It almost becomes a game. It's really cool. But I'm not sure where they would go for that with the second season. I'm not even sure if it got renewed for a second season. But yeah, it had a really good cast. HBO, I tell you, their original content, man, has fucking gone down. I remember like 10 years ago, you had HBO year round because there was amazing series on Sunday nights. There's two hours of amazing series, whether it be 2 half-hour shows, 1 1-hour show. It was the era of like The Sopranos. What else was going on at the time? Then The Sopranos was followed by Boardwalk Empire. But yeah, now like most of the shows on HBO I don't fucking watch, and I just renewed my subscription after like I think 3 or 4 months for True Detective season 3, which I watched the first couple episodes of that. It looks like they fixed it from season 2, but yeah, the casting looks pretty cool, and they're kind of like dipping their toes into like real world events that happen. So it kind of is like giving off a similar vibe. Like it's tied to season 1. Like there are things that are tying it to season 1. Like they even mentioned like some of the killings in season 1, I think, in the second episode. But yeah, it's pretty good. I'm sorry. But going back to an HBO series that I did watch that premiered for the first time, Barry. Barry's about a fucking assassin who, like, he's a former Marine, I think. Played by Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live. He's a former Marine, and he becomes an assassin when he comes home from Afghanistan and Iraq, like after he gets done with his military service. And it's a comedy about this assassin who's, like, depressed. Like, he's having a midlife crisis. He's like, well, I don't want to kill people anymore. And then he has an assignment where he has to kill this actor in L.A., and he decides to stay here and become an actor because he was casing him, and he ended up accidentally going to this acting class. And the acting class is taught by fucking Henry Winkler. And Henry Winkler is so goddamn funny in this series. But yeah, if you want a good comedy series with good acting and yeah, just check out Barry on HBO. That's definitely a good one. I think I came across this, and I think I started watching it after. Did I stream the first 2 seasons? And this is the first. Yeah, I think I discovered it in the summer, but This Is Us. It speaks to me. It's set in Pittsburgh, which is an hour and a half away from where I grew up, Youngstown. And the character Randall, like. Now I describe myself as a Randall who tries to be Jack, who's the dad. but it was one of those shows where it's like, oh, it's one of those shows where it's just going to make you cry. And I was so bored one day. And then I'm like, why are people watching this show? And then I actually watched it, and I ended up fucking binging the first 2 seasons, bawling my fucking eyes out. And I'm like, no, Jack. But yeah, I'm definitely a This Is Us fan, and I just watched the latest episode. Yeah. So that was one of my favorite series that I discovered this year. Next one is another HBO show called The Deuce. If you haven't seen The Deuce, it's set in the late 70s, and it's surrounded by – the first season focused more on pimps and prostitutes in 1970s New York, which was just a fucking – it was a gutter. Times Square was dirty as shit. James Franco stars in this series. And he actually plays two roles. He plays two brothers that get involved with the mob. He runs a bar and nightclub. But yeah, that's a really good series. It's from the same guy that did The Wire and Tremé, David Simon. That guy, he was a former reporter for like 20 years in the Baltimore area. But now he's got more into fiction. But yeah, so it's if you enjoy The Wire and or Tremé, I would definitely recommend The Deuce because it's transitions from focusing more on pimps and prostitutes and it's slowly transitioning to the pornography industry, where it shows how some of those prostitutes actually started getting into porn and then like trying to get into an actual legitimate field instead of like the straight crime. So then there's like the tug of war between the pimps kind of being cut out of the system almost, and like their reactions to it. There's a lot of stuff about like feminism. It's not like modern feminism. It's like, hey, you shouldn't be a pimp and pretty much have slaves, aka prostitutes. Yeah, really, really good show. I highly recommend it. The next one was, let's see here, a Netflix show, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I watched Sabrina Teenage Witch growing up because I was the oldest, but I always had to watch younger shit because I wasn't allowed to watch, like, TV-14 stuff because of my younger siblings. So I watched Teenage Witch growing up, and I didn't know that they were in the Archie comics. And then this is kind of a spinoff of Riverdale, the CW series. And they even mentioned Riverdale a few times in the Chilling Air. And what is it, CAOS? Is that what the kids are calling it? Yeah, Chilling Adventures of New Sabrina. Or Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. But yeah, it's pretty fucking dark. Like if you like TV shows like Supernatural, yeah, you'll probably like this one. It's a lot more like almost R-rated. Isn't it? R-rated violence? Yeah, maybe. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of blood in it. But yeah, it's really interesting what they do. Because they're pretty much Satanists. They worship Satan. And I think the whole first season is her like taking an oath to Satan or whatever. And she doesn't really want to do it because then she would have to give up all her friends, her human friends. Yeah, but it's really hilarious because she attacks it like it's actually like Christian fundamentalism. There's almost satanic fundamentalism. And she gets pushback from asking questions. And it just goes to show that any fundamentalist religion, that they really don't like questions and thing in pointing out flaws in their religion. And yeah, so that really amused me how like she was constantly pushing back about almost like the fundamentalism extremism of Satanism that like her one aunt kind of subscribes to. But yeah, that's one of the reasons that like that series like hit it for me. And the girl from Mad Men, it's really hard for me to separate her from her character in Mad Men. Yeah, because their character in Mad Men was kind of a stick in the mud, and I guess she's a little bit more loose in this one. But she's still kind of, I don't know, kind of reserved, like proper. But it's a cool series, and I'm digging it, so... Yeah, I'm definitely going to be catching the second season of that when it comes out. I saw the holiday special. I'm going to rewatch it again. I really wasn't paying attention. The next one, Jack Ryan, where Jim from The Office, John Krasinski, man, that guy's had an amazing year. Yeah, The Quiet Movie, I bought that one, A Quiet Place. Like, so he had an amazing year with his... I don't think it was his directorial debut, but that was an amazing horror movie. It almost made my top 10 movie list, but it was just so quiet for the first half. I couldn't put it on there. But Jack Ryan, amazing action. And once again, I think this one's only 8 episodes. Some of these series are only doing 8 episode seasons, and you're actually feeling cheated. I think the sweet spot is like 10 episodes. 13 episodes can seem a little bit long, especially with the Marvel Netflix series. It's always like, they got that like episode like 5, 6, 7, where it just feels like filler. But I think 10 episode seasons are like really good. I think that's like the money spot. But Jack Ryan, like once again, amazing action. And it's actually believable. They don't make him seem like this. Jason Bourne type character. They kind of recognize that, and even in the first episode, he gets in this fight, and he actually has to use his head to be able to get out of it. So he's in this like standoff. I think he like pulls the pin of a grenade, and the guy's got a gun at him. So if the guy shoots him, he'll drop the grenade. So yeah, that was really cool. I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch that. Like I said, it's only 8 episodes, but yeah, I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch that. Next up is for the anime nerds out there. I discovered My Hero Academia this year, and it is by far one of the like the most like fun experiences I've had. Like watching, like I don't watch a lot of anime, but like I had a friend, a coworker, recommend it, and yeah, I was just absolutely like engulfed in it. It's about like this world where like I think most of the population has like a superhero gene. They're all kind of like mutants or yeah. And there's only a small percentage of the population that doesn't have that mutation or gene. And this series is about this kid who doesn't have it, but he wants to be a hero. And his favorite hero, he meets him, and then he kind of passes his powers along, which a lot of people don't know that you could pass the powers along from a powered individual to a non-powered individual. But yeah, I just had so much fun watching the first couple seasons. I watched the first couple seasons, and then the third season was going on. So, like, I was watching that live as those episodes were coming out. But, yeah, it's right up there with Dragon Ball Super. I didn't talk about Dragon Ball Super because it's ridiculous. I think there's, like, 150 episodes for the last season that they had. And I think I checked last night. They actually have Dragon Ball Super Broly, a movie. It's in theaters now. It's at the theater I go to all the time, Regal, in downtown LA. I think I'm going to go see it. But yeah, I heard it's got really good reviews, but, if you didn't know, there's Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, and then there's Dragon Ball GT, which pretty much almost everybody hated. So they're pretty much scrapping continuity for GT. And this is picking up from Dragon Ball Z, and now it's called Dragon Ball Super. Where they've introduced like gods and like they've expanded on like now there's multiple universes and it becomes like a tournament for multiple universes. But there's even this arc where they go to the future, so you get to see future Trunks again, which I was jacked for. But yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, I would like to see future Trunks come back permanently to the current timeline that they're in. And then him interacting with his I think they're around 8 years old. Like Trunk and Goten are around 8 years old. But yeah, I just love that future Trunks character. But yeah, I'm sorry. The Dragon Ball Super wasn't on my list. I just got off on a tangent. And the last series that I'm going to talk about is Kim's Convenience. If you haven't seen Kim's Convenience, like, if you're a fan of The Office or Parks and Rec, this is my new go-to TV show to always have constantly on. Like, if I'm doing something else, I have Kim's Convenience on because it's so fucking funny. It's this Canadian sitcom on the CBC, but it's about the South Korean family that runs a convenience store. And there's the dad, there's the mom. There's a daughter that works at this store and lives with them the first season, and she's going to school for like photography. And then there's like the estranged brother who got kicked out of the house when he was a teenager. But the cast is absolutely amazing. It just puts a smile on my face. Like the dad kind of reminds me of like that patriarch who's like kind of dumb and like kind of set in his ways. But, like, he's got a good heart at the end of the day. But he's just stubborn. He kind of reminds me of, like, a South Korean, like, Ron Swanson almost. But, yeah, I absolutely love that show. The third season just started up. But for some reason, I don't know why, the first two seasons are on iTunes in the U.S. But they are in Canada. If you switch the store from the U.S. iTunes store to the Canadian iTunes store, they have the first two seasons and the third season. Like, I tried buying the season pass for the third season, but like, yeah, copyright laws and stuff are like, it's stupid as shit. Like, if you're a Canadian TV show and it's, you kind of got a hit in the United States. Why wouldn't you want that, like, streaming or available for people to watch in the United States? I mean, some U.S. TV shows are run concurrently in other countries, I believe. Yeah, so it's just kind of confusing, but don't tell anybody. But somebody's been uploading the season 3 episodes to YouTube, and I just watched the second episode today before this. But yeah, definitely if you're looking for a new comedy series, Kim's Convenience, the first two seasons are on Netflix, and it's fucking hilarious. I think each season has 13 episodes. They're 20-minute episodes, and I think I'm on, like, my fifth or sixth rerun through the series. Like, I just always have it on, and I'm always playing it while I'm doing other stuff around the house. But yeah, definitely a great TV show. Yeah, so a lot of great movies this year, a lot of great TV shows. I guess I'll talk a little bit about the DC streaming app. I didn't include Titans on there because I got the DC streaming app and there's not, they got all their back shit. I don't know why they wouldn't have had like two series or something like that running concurrently to launch this platform. Like, it is not worth the $7.99 a month right now. They had Titans, which is a live action series, and now they have Young Justice, which they're dropping 3 episodes every Friday. So tomorrow will be the third drop where there's going to be 9 episodes available. But yeah, they're only releasing 1 episode every Friday for Titans. But yeah, the live action Titans is fucking cool. Robin in it is Dick Grayson. He starts off as Robin, and then throughout halfway through the season, there's 2 Robins because then Jason Todd shows up. And this is comic book nerd shit. If you didn't know, Jason Todd was the second Robin in the comic books, and he's the one that they had a poll. Back in the 80s, they were like, oh, should we kill this Robin or should we not kill this Robin? Because he wasn't really a lot of people didn't like him. He's kind of cocky. Batman recruits him to become Robin when, like, I think he's like an orphan teenager on the streets and he's trying to steal like the tires off the Batmobile or some shit. But he shows up, Jason Todd Robin shows up in like episode 5 or 6 of the Titan series. So there's actually 2 Robins in this episode. And even even the outfits are a little bit different. Like the second one, Robin had an upgrade. Dick Grayson, the original Robin, he had a falling out with Batman like a year or two beforehand. So he quit being Batman and Robin. And like Robin's like working as a – Dick Grayson's working as a detective in, I think, Detroit. Yeah, so pretty much this season is kind of him abandoning the Robin persona to adopt the Nightwing persona. But yeah, the individual episodes were fucking amazing. The showrunner needs his fucking head examined because it is by far the stupidest season finale I've ever seen. And like, I like the series. I just think the showrunner needs his fucking head examined for the reasons and decisions why they would put this episode at the end. Well, fucking spoilers. They do Trigon's introduced in the second to last episode at the very end of the episode. And then the next episode, you're like, oh, okay, this isn't real. This is like, I don't know, a hallucination or whatever. And it's Batman's in it. It's not obviously the real Batman. And Dick Grayson has this like fake life with a Dove. Like, he's married to Dove and they have kids. And it was just such a stupid episode. Like, you bury those like episodes where, is it happening? Is it really not happening? Like the Sopranos, whenever the Sopranos got all artsy fartsy with like Tony and his mental problems, they would have one of those dream episodes and they would bury those dream episodes in the middle of the season. So that way the viewer wasn't pissed off at the end of the season. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? So towards the end of the season, they have a Hawk and Dove episode where, like, in the whole episode, Raven is appearing to them in visions and saying, hey, you need to find Jason Todd. You need to find Jason Todd. So you think Jason Todd's going to be important for the season finale. This is episode 9 and the season finale was episode 11. After that episode, you don't see Jason Todd. Oh, I'm sorry. You do see Jason Todd, but it's in that dream episode, and it's fucking stupid. It was just so frustrating because it just seemed like they were trying to do, oh, look at this big cool thing. We're going to have this fake Batman in here. He's going to be killing people, and the Gotham City Police Department's going to raid Wayne Manor. And, like, it was just so frustrating as a viewer. It just reminded me of the Dexter series finale, where it was just like, what the fuck was the showrunner thinking? It was stupid. But in terms of action and the costumes, like, they kill it on all those fronts. And on the individual episodes, they kill it. But the overall arc of the season, that showrunner needs his fucking head examined, dude. Like, it was not a good season finale. And I heard that they actually filmed the 12th episode, which was supposed to be the season finale, but they decided to use that for the season 2 premiere or something like that, or to chop it up. But yeah, not only do you get a stupid-ass dream episode for the season finale, where nothing really matters for it, then during the end credits, for the end credits thing, then they introduce fucking Superboy. So it's like, what the fuck are you introducing a new character for when you still haven't even fucking resolved what's currently going on, you dumb shits? Like, the problem I see with the season is that they're giving too much fan service and not enough, like, logical, like, this is how the season, enough of a good season arc. But I don't know. I'm hoping for a second season. Hopefully the second season, if you watch the two together, maybe it'll make a little bit more sense. But, like, right now, like, yeah, in terms of the show running, it's just awful. Let's see here. What else? So you guys been following politics at all? A little of this Trump-Russia shit? I'm not going to talk about this a lot, but fucking, like, 2.5-3 years of this shit were, like, you feel like you're a crazy person because, like, my spidey sense started tingling when they changed the fucking platform. Like, there was some shit that was going on beforehand, like, online that I saw. Because sometimes, like, I would dip in and read, like, Breitbart, just, like, the headlines, and then I'd scroll down the comics and then see how batshit crazy all the conspiracy theory idiots were. The Russia shit, like, I've kind of had a sense that fucking Russia was doing this online shit all the way back to Attack of the Show, which was like, it was a show on G4, but they would do like comic book reviews and stuff like that, and they would have a lot of like YouTube viral videos. And they started having YouTube viral videos of this one guy, I don't know if he's a teenager or maybe in his early 20s, this one dude from Russia who would make videos of like AK-47s like blowing shit up and stuff like that. So I would go to YouTube and look down in the comments, and it was always like NWO, New World Order, conspiracy theory shit, where I was like, yeah, just roll my eyes at it. And then during the Obama administration, Russia Today became a pretty popular online like news source. And it's Russian media, and they did a lot of stuff like the metadata stories that came out from like the Snowden shit. And then same exact thing. You scroll down the comment sections, it's all the batshit crazy conspiracy theory shit. And yeah, my spider sense was going off a little bit more. I'm like, they're constantly pushing this false narrative, just like horse shit. And then after that, I stopped going to Russia Today so much because like I realized what they were pushing and what their fucking agenda was pushing. And then after that, Alex Jones started getting more and more popular. And Breitbart started getting more and more popular. And if you go, Alex Jones is a straight conspiracy theory. A lot of people don't know this, but Bill Cooper is the name of an individual in the early 90s who wrote this book. I think it was called Beyond the Pale Horse or some shit. But he's pretty much the grandfather of modern conspiracy theory, of not trusting the government. And all of this, most conspiracy theories are rooted in evangelical Christianity. And it's all about anti-Semitism. So for instance, if you didn't know this, flat earthers, if you break down the theory and if you dig deep enough into it, flat earthers believe that the earth is not standing still, but it's rising. They don't believe in gravity. They think the earth is coming up at, 9.38 meters per second? Is that terminal velocity? I don't know. It's been forever since I took physics. But yes, they believe the earth is rising up. So when you drop something, the object isn't actually dropping. The earth is coming up to hit it. But that's what they believe. And what they believe is that if you go to the end of the earth, there is an ice barrier, aka the North and South Poles. They believe that there's an ice barrier there, kind of like Game of Thrones, and that NASA is actually a front for Israel, and that, how is the word? Oh, yeah, all the money that goes into NASA mostly goes into the security. They believe that there's armed security personnel around the border. This is so batshit crazy. They believe that there are armed security personnel are guarding the border of the end of the world, so that way you can't view it. That's what most fucking conspiracy theories are. If you dig deep enough into them, it's anti-Semitism. And if you're a student of history, this has been going on for fucking thousands of years where Jews are getting blamed for this shit. It's just a way to delegitimize them as a people, to view them as like these ultimate villains. During the Middle Ages, if you didn't know this, Jews are considered moneylenders. That's their big thing. When they got expelled from the temple, the one time Jesus lost his shit, it was because of the money changers, which if you trace it back to, or if you trace the money changers, that is modern day banking. So it used to be a sin. Let's see here. I don't want to butcher this. I want to be historically accurate here. Let's see here. So it used to be a sin to charge money. If you were to give a loan, it used to be a sin to charge interest. Let's see here. I think it was St. Augustine. Hold on one sec. St. Augustine. Usury. Let's see here. I'll just do St. Augustine. But pretty much the... Is it August? Wait. Fuck, I can't remember it. But pretty much usury is a sin. I'll go usury. Let's see here. Usury. I want to get this right. I don't want to be an idiot. Let's see here. Usury in Christianity. I'm sorry. It was St. Thomas Aquinas, who is... pretty much one of the major Christian philosophers. But usury, it's natural theology, looking at the natural world and applying God's rules to it. So if you're a neighbor and you have 100 pounds of grain and you only need 50 pounds of grain, and your neighbor has a flooding issue and he lost his crops and he lost all of his crops, he's like, oh, I need some crops. And you as a Christian, you should be like, oh, hey, have this other, I don't know, 50 pounds of grain in here. And then just next year, just give me that 50 pounds back. Okay. So that's 50-50. Okay. I gave you something and I should only expect what I gave you back. But, it's unnatural, according to God's law, to expect that person to give you 60 pounds of grain back. Why would it be unnatural? Because you're trying to create something from nothing. And charging interest is considered a sin. Well, it was considered a sin until the church started losing power and nation states started becoming more powerful. And then they realized that they needed funding from these nation states. So then they changed their views on charging interest. But before they changed their views on charging interest, and which gave rise to modern banking, the only people that were able to give out loans were Jews. And so you would have these cities in the Middle Ages where there was a small Jewish population, but they were the only ones able to give out loans, pretty much. So people would come to these Jews for loans that were Christians, and then they would start getting pissed off. They're like, fuck this. Why am I paying this money? Why am I paying this money, they're charging interest on me. Fuck these people. And then what would they do to the Jews? They would either kill them or run them out of the fucking city. And this shit has been going on since the fucking Middle Ages. So this anti-Semitism that it's always all evil Jews and their money, this shit goes back fucking thousands of years. Most people don't fucking know this. And that's why most of these modern conspiracy theories, you can always trace it back usually to some form of anti-Semitism where it's the Jews' fault and to blame the Jews. And it's extremely frustrating, especially seeing, knowing the history, knowing that St. Thomas Aquinas was one of the greatest Christian philosophers and scholars, and seeing these right-wing evangelicals just love banking. They love charging interest. Betsy DeVos, huge right-wing nut job, huge evangelical. Do you know how she makes her money? Student loan payments. What do they do on student loan payments? Charge a dick load of interest. And it's funny how a lot of Christians, they don't study their religion from a historical perspective, like taking a step back. They entrench themselves in the confirmation bias, in which you have 2,000 years of scholarly, and I'm putting those in quotation marks, scholarly Christian teachings that seem to just morph and change. And they don't actually go back and actually study the history behind it. And yeah, with all this Trump shit now, it's just so frustrating where it's like these people have just become fundamentalist capitalists and moral nihilists and Christian second. And I don't know. It's pretty scary, especially because if you only study Christianity, you only have that moral framework from Christianity. And one of the reasons for a liberal arts degree is to become a well-rounded person. And that's by studying additional religions, additional philosophies, and then coming to universal truths. So if you study multiple religions, and you could say, it pretty much always breaks down to the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then you're like, these are supposed to be allegories. These are supposed to be, they're supposed to be allegories. They're supposed to be stories that you learn from and then apply them to your life. Well, it's really fucking insidious if you have people that are fundamentalist capitalists first, and then their moral framework for Christianity just reinforces that fundamentalist capitalism, and it turns into moral nihilism. And that's absolutely what you're seeing from evangelical Christians in this country right now. And it's fucking scary because their only moral framework is from that Christianity perspective, that warped Christianity perspective that they've had and they've been indoctrinated into. And there's no talking to them because then they consider you attacking their religion. And then they just become more entrenched and they fall back on all the bullshit propaganda that's been perpetuated inside of their sect of Christianity. It's just pretty fucked. And people, if you're still listening right now, like people must think I'm like one of the fucking weirdest people ever because I talk about like all this comic book shit and like sports. And then I go off on like a goddamn history rant at the end of it. Like some asshole trying to teach people new shit and kind of look at how they should be viewing the world. But I don't know. That seems like a pretty good place to end the podcast. Let's see here. Oh yeah, I'm thinking about I'm joining this yoga facility. It's like $50 a month or something like that for unlimited yoga for the first month. But yeah, my lower back's been fucked up, or it's starting to get fucked up again. So I'm gonna have to go hang out with some smelly hippies that don't wear deodorant. God damn it. The smells in this city really get me. I got rid of my car a couple months ago, and I've been taking the metro, which is fucking awesome. Just from people watching perspective, like you hop on the metro sometimes, and then like people will be playing music, so you'll see these like amazing musicians and stuff like that. But then the homeless people, man, the amount of homeless people that like getting on the metro at like 6:45 on a Sunday. Like, there will be entire cars full of people just, like, sleeping on the benches. And they don't start running it until, like, 4 or 5:30, I think. So I think these people just wait around until then. They're all fucked up. And then they can hop on the metro to get somewhere warm to sleep. And then they just sleep on there. But the smells, man. The smells are by far the worst thing about riding the metro. And the lack of security, too. There's hardly... probably like one in 10 times I go through a metro station, I actually see security or workers. And it's nuts. Even they pay all these fucking taxes. I think it's like $100 a month for an unlimited metro pass. Like, what the fuck are they doing with all this money that they can't actually staff people to be actually like security inside the terminals? But that's a whole nother thing. I'm going to get going, get a good workout in, day off. Get my sexy on. But you guys have a good one. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on, let's see here. Fuck, man. It's been so long since I did one of these. I can't even remember all the platforms that I'm on. I think Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. And you can always find it on my website at www.coryslater.com. www.coryslater.com, which I need to... I think I'm going to revamp on that. I think I'm going to work on my website a little bit here. I think that'll be one of my New Year's resolutions to actively like start writing and stuff and put more blog posts up. But you guys have a terrific day, and thank you for tuning in.